Welcome to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. I'm your host, Rachel Ash. Upon my debut into the dating world, I thought everyone had the same concept of what normal, decent, and acceptable was. It took the first unsolicited dick pic to bitch slap me back into reality, and holy shit! From that point on, I knew it was time to buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, because I was in the motherfucking wild, wild west. If you're new to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories, you have landed on season 2. If you'd like to catch up and listen to the entire first season of Fucked Up Stories, then pause here. Everyone else, buckle up and let's go. If you enjoy this episode today, feel free to send it to a friend in need. If you're listening on Apple, take a moment to write a review. I truly appreciate all of you. You all help keep this podcast alive. If you have any questions or your own fucked up story to share, feel free to slide into my DMs at Dating Podcast. To help us grow, click on the Support the Show link in the description of this episode. By supporting us, you help us expand our content and upgrade the show. Get early access to episodes and exclusive perks. Subscribe now on Patreon. August 13th, 2023. The apartment overlooked a very sought-out area of downtown Fort Lauderdale, Las Olas Boulevard. The view was spectacular. From the apartment, you could even see the ocean far away in the distance. The view outside was picturesque. The scene inside was drastically different. As I walked around the apartment, I began to notice cards with saints on them in random parts of the apartment, the office desk, the kitchen, everywhere. I thought this was peculiar. Were these saint cards post-it notes for him to behave? Interesting. Sitting there at the kitchen countertop, I slowly devoured beignets and a decaf coffee. It was an unusual Sunday evening. This was my first time in this apartment, and soon to be my last. He walked over to the couch and turned on the TV. At this point, it was pitch black outside. The oversized balcony came to life with color-changing uplighting. It felt like we were in a club. He seemed proud of it. "What's your favorite color?" he asked. "Cobalt blue," I replied. He grinned and set the lighting to my favorite shade. "Come sit over here," he motioned to the couch. "Hold on, I'm almost done eating. You wouldn't want me to get powdered sugar all over your beautiful couch now, would you?" I replied. "Just come here. Let's watch a movie," he said. "What movie?" I asked. Then as I asked, "Eyes Wide Shut" by Stanley Kubrick popped up on the screen. "Oh God," I said. "This movie?" "What?" he said. "Have you seen this movie?" I asked. "No," he replied. "Really?" I was astonished. "It's Stanley Kubrick's last film. He never even finished filming it. The end, I won't give it away by saying this, but it just ends. But you do know what it's about, right?" "No," he answered. "Oh my God, it's about sex parties. Are you sure you want to watch this?" I asked, half laughing. It wasn't exactly a friendly movie, and that's what he advertised when I agreed to stop by after dinner. But he had assured me we were just friends, and that was fine by me. We had been talking for over 3 years here and there on social media. We had built up a friendly rapport with one another, and we connected over the difficulties of dating in South Florida. As well-educated individuals, we both aligned on wanting high-quality partners, something that seemed rare to find here. He pushed play and started the movie. "Come sit," he said. I brushed the powdered sugar off my lips and did as I was told. After a few minutes, he got in close to sit right up against me. I started remarking on how ridiculous some of the dialogue and scenes were. This reminds me of that guy I went on a date with a few months ago, the one from Pompano who said he was into sex parties. He wasn't really listening to what I was saying, though. He didn't respond. He just kept looking forward at the movie and contemplating his next move. Then he carefully moved his hand to the inside of my leg and left it there. I looked down at his hand, but I didn't say anything at first. I wasn't sure how I felt about it and how I felt about him. But I was definitely on red alert at this point. Then he took my left hand and rubbed it on the outside of his pants. I said, shocked. What's going on here? I asked, bewildered. Then he went in to kiss me. I was confused, and as I opened my mouth to speak, he started kissing me. We're just friends, he whispered as he kissed me. Rachel, we're just friends, he said again as his kisses became rougher. Why do you keep saying that? I asked as I sensually kissed him back. We're just friends, he repeated. That's it. I didn't want to hear him say it again, so I got up suddenly to remove myself from the situation. Why do you keep saying we're just friends? Friends don't kiss each other. I don't kiss my friends, I said lightheartedly. It wouldn't work with us. We're so different. I mean, you have a dog, he said. Okay, yes, I have an adorable dog, Chewy, I replied, confused. And you're not Catholic. Okay, right, but that wasn't really an issue with my parents, and they've been married for over 40 years, I replied. It's better if we're just friends. I agree, I answered sharply. Come back and let's finish the movie, he said. I don't know. As long as you understand we're just friends. Yeah, just come back, he replied. I hesitated, but went back to sit down. A few more minutes went by, and he was kissing me again. We can't do this. I know you want a relationship, he started saying. I said nothing. I let him continue as he spoke in between kissing. He stared at me, looking for a response. You want a relationship, he said, in a way almost trying to get me to respond and say, I'm okay with friends with benefits. He was searching for an answer I wasn't going to give him. My boundaries were up. Why are you thinking so much about it? Just let things happen naturally. I broke the silence. We're just friends, he said again. I think we should stop, he said. You should go, he said as he got up abruptly and walked me to the door. He led me down the hallway to the elevator. He said nothing as we rode down the elevator. As we walked outside the entrance of the Icon, he motioned for the valet to bring my car around. My car pulled up. He gave me a quick hug. We're just friends. We're just friends, he stated for the final time like a declaration. Okay, why do you keep saying that? I repeated so utterly confused. I drove home. My eyes stared ahead, fixated on nothing. And my mind began to rewind back to that first moment we met 3 years ago. This is the troubling story of The Surgeon. August 10th, 2020. Swiping through profiles on Bumble, I came across this incredibly handsome man. This man was camera ready, straight out of GQ, early 30s, tall, dark, and handsome. Check, check, check. He looked of Middle Eastern descent, a cardiovascular surgeon. Wow, impressed. However, on a side note, in my experience, doctors and surgeons are into weird shit. They are exposed to death and blood and things most of us aren't. I think it makes them immune to its effects. It makes them cold and exacting. Pretty sure Jack the Ripper was a surgeon, right? I also think a lot of them have weird fetishes. At least some of them have told me about them. Think about that next time you go in for surgery. Some surgeon may be checking out your feet as you lay there under anesthesia. All right. He plays tennis and golf. Love a man who plays golf. Everyone knows deals are made on the golf course after all. This was before pickleball. This was 2020. Pickleball was about to explode onto the mainstream, but not just yet. He loves to cook. I can get behind that. A man who can cook is a dream. After inhaling his Bumble profile, the first thought I had was, holy shit, how is this guy even on the market? On digital paper, he looked like a goddamn 15 out of 10. However, don't forget, this is dating and other fucked up stories, ladies and gentlemen. Just wait for it. It's coming. He strategically had his Instagram handle visible on his Bumble account. He clearly wanted people to follow him. His profile said, I actually am looking for something real. Sure, I said sarcastically. But maybe he was being honest. I shouldn't be such a cynic. Well, aw, okay. This guy is cute. He really is looking for a relationship. Okay, great. The trap was set, and I fell for it. I hit follow on his Instagram account. He had nearly 1,500 followers. Not surprised. He was a very handsome and accomplished man. As I sifted through his pictures, I noticed most of the likes and comments on his photos were from women. Uh-oh. Red flag. This made me weary instantly. I would have to play this right, with the understanding that he is a player and is used to getting whatever he wants. I'm up for the challenge. Throughout his profile, there were a couple of photos of him with his parents or a video here and there of him playing classical piano. For the most part, though, the entirety of his Instagram account consisted either of himself half naked and shirtless or of himself decked out in full-on surgeon uniform. And hell, if I was ripped like him, I would be showing off too. His Instagram stories consisted of photos of his home-cooked meals or of him out at a fancy restaurant like Sexy Fish. Every time he updated his stories, I would wonder, who is he on a date with tonight? It was so obvious it was a date. No one goes to a fancy dinner alone. This should have repelled me, but it didn't. I was more intrigued. Who was the competition? Could I take them? I knew I could. Just needed to find my way in. Listen, in your 30s, most of the good men are married. Either I compete with the other ladies for what I want, or I wait until these amazing men get divorced in a few years. This guy was not subtle at all. He knew it, too. He knew he was a real-life George Clooney. It is in my opinion that the worst trait to lack is the ability to be humble. And this was another concern of mine, another red flag. South Florida is, by no means small. There are plenty of beautiful, intelligent women in this city. The reason why he had not found a partner was entirely on him. A theory that would be confirmed by my dear friend Charlotte. He struggled with wanting a partner. It was his eternal struggle. He wanted a strong, beautiful, intelligent woman, but he attracted a specific woman who only wanted to be financially taken care of. The looks were there, but the woman he was dating was the trophy wife type, a woman who wanted to be taken care of. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I just think he wanted more than that. He wanted a woman who was a model, career-driven, religious, and intellectually challenging. No wonder he had a hard time. I have met maybe one or two women in my entire life who meet those requirements. As a surgeon, it must be extremely difficult to emotionally support a partner. Always on call, working long, late shifts. The job is not a job. It's a life. It's a calling. Doctors take oaths. In my opinion, this man was already married to his work and himself, yet the relationship with himself was lacking. He filled the lack with sexy women, yachts, property, and other material items, yet deep down, when it came to it, he was utterly dissatisfied with the personal part of his life. Some say women set their standards so high with what they are looking for in a man. But it happens with men as well. Welcome to the club. I too hit subscribe to the High Standards Club, and I'm not apologizing, ever. You see, I am self-sufficient. I don't need to settle for anyone who doesn't keep my vibe high and my heart safe. The only reason I would ever agree to a relationship with a man would be for love. Dressed in designer clothes and finished with an Hermes belt, the man wanted every woman to know that he was wealthy, eligible, and a true South Florida catch. If the surgeon had a theme song, it would be "You're So Vain" by Carly Simon. You walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. This describes the surgeon's persona to a T. He was so vain. He probably thinks this story is about him, and it is about him. So there you go. It's only fitting that this would be the song. Why? Because one, most of his photos were half naked, and two, I literally watched him walk onto a yacht at an event I invited him to. So there you go. At this point, I was following him on Instagram. We didn't even actually match on Bumble. I liked him, but he never matched me back. Instead, I just followed his Instagram directly. One evening, I noticed he had posted a story of some food he had cooked. This was my chance. I slid into his DMs and said, "That looks perfect." And he hearted it, so it worked. "Maybe one day we will take the plunge and meet. You can cook and I can bake. Perfect combination." I wrote back. He replied, "Yes." 11 days went by. I posted a photo in a mint green sundress. He saw it and asked, "Plans today?" "Hey there, do you have something in mind?" I asked. No answer. So then I sent him my phone number if he wanted to text instead. Still, he did not initiate. Later that evening, I felt like taking a drive down to the beach with my acoustic guitar. It was a beautiful summer's night, and I wanted to practice guitar under the moonlight. There are times when you want to take a break from dating and just spend time with yourself. I was in between love. I wasn't dating anyone in particular. The friends I had at the time were all married or in serious relationships. They were all perfectly content to quarantine with their committed partners and not see any friends. Plus, they were deathly afraid of getting COVID. I lost a lot of people who I thought were friends because they didn't agree with my choice to date during the pandemic. While I understood their concern, they also could not put themselves in my shoes. I was newly separated. I had never dated before, and I wanted to go out and meet men. I wanted the intimacy of it, to touch and be touched by another human being. I was starving for it. I posted some stories teasing where I was going. One was a photo of Las Olas Boulevard, to which I wrote, "Not here." The surgeon jumped into my DMs after this story. He wanted to know where I was. I didn't tell him. An hour later, I posted videos on Instagram playing guitar on the beach, to which he responded with an emoji with a tongue sticking out. Ugh, what low effort this guy was giving me. Does he want me or does he not want me? I responded with, "You could always ask me where my secret place is. I might tell you." "Where's your secret place?" he asked. He then sent me a video. He was at a white party. There were a ton of people at the party, all in their 20s and 30s. Yes, this was still in the heart of COVID. I asked him if he was having fun. "It's insane," he replied. Finally, he then asked if I wanted to meet up. Keep in mind, this is entirely last minute, and at this point, it was 9:22 p.m. at night. If I met up with him, he would be expecting sex. I teased him and said, "Sadly, I did not pack my little white dress before I drove to the beach." "That's not a big deal," he replied. "Oh yeah, I'm sure it's not." 10 p.m. I posted an image on Instagram of the ocean lit by the moonlight. He responded, "Where are you?" I swiftly responded, "The beach." Then he vanished until September 15th. I messaged him out of the blue. "So how long have you been married?" He then replied, "What? I'm single." And I joke, "And how is that going? You seem to be attracting exactly what you want." "Not." He responded, "I feel like it's hard to date in South Florida, but yes, we definitely should meet up since we both are dirty martini connoisseurs." Just whisper those 8 little words and see what happens. "Will you go on a date with me?" He laughed and said, "I'm on call Thursday through Tuesday, so let's try for next week." September 21st, 2020. He sent me a photo of himself shirtless. I took a screenshot. "Why did you screenshot?" he asked. "I always get ready. Never know what I'm going to see," I replied. Let me be honest in saying, I know if this guy is sending me a message, it's going to be a half-nude image of himself. That's just his style. He is vain as fuck. He got weirded out that I screenshot him. "What in the actual fuck?" I'm like, "Hey, you should be flattered." September 22nd, he DM'd me out of nowhere. It's Taco Tuesday, and he invited me to grab tacos with him. Finally, a date. He explained that he couldn't drink because he was on call. He said I could drink, but he wouldn't. It would be our first date. He gave me his number and asked me to text him, so I did. The date never happened. You see, I had already cooked myself dinner. This date he tried to initiate was literally last minute around 7 p.m. on a Tuesday. I felt like I was a backup for the date who canceled last minute. At the time, I lived in West Broward, so it would have taken 20 to 30 minutes to get there. Plus, he couldn't even drink with me. I urged him to pick a different night so we could plan it out. He didn't. He went out with someone else instead, to Bar Rita. He made sure to post it on his stories so I would see it, too. That was fuckboy vibes. and I don't play by the rules with fuckboys. I make my own rules. In 2020, I was working as a director of marketing at a yacht company. We were having a photo shoot and needed an amateur male model. Despite my hesitation, I DM'd the surgeon and asked if he wanted to take a stab at it. He had a good laugh about it and hinted he would be down if he didn't have to play doctor the next day. I definitely stroked his ego by asking. I knew what I was doing. I was using my resources to finally initiate an in-person introduction. Coincidentally, that evening my company was hosting a wine tasting on all of our yachts. The goal was to bring interested buyers to the marina who had purchased one of the yachts. Well, the surgeon frequently chartered yachts. I knew because he always posted videos of himself on a yacht with 20 gorgeous women. Whenever I would see those videos, I would start laughing uncontrollably because I remembered what his dating profile had said, that he was really looking for a relationship. Sure. With all of them? Well, based on the car he drove, yachts he's chartered, and the apartment he lived in, he clearly had disposable income. This was a perfect lifestyle pairing for the yacht event I had planned. So I invited him to the wine tasting. He was intrigued and said he would stop by at the event later in the evening. Yes. All right. Even though I enjoyed calling the surgeon out on his fuckboy behavior, I had to admit the thought of him stepping on a yacht wearing a tight shirt with a glass of champagne in hand sounded like a page straight out of a romance novel. Yum. Yes, he was a fuckboy. But you know what? YOLO, motherfucker! I was going to have this fantasy for a few hours. Why not revel in it? The event was overwhelming. As the director of marketing, I was in charge of running the entire event. And lucky me, we were understaffed. By no fault of my own. If there is anything I have learned over the years in the creative world, you just suck it up and deal with it calmly. This can be applied in life as well. Aim high, but don't expect anything will go as planned. Certain things will always be out of your control. Events will never go 100% the way you envisioned them to go, but 90% isn't bad at all. Take it, be happy with it, and use it as a tool to improve next time. Never, ever be afraid to fail. It's how we grow. A text popped up on my phone. It was the surgeon. He had arrived. Shit. At this point, the event had been going on a few hours, and I was absolutely exhausted. I had zero brain power left. Even physically, I was tired from running around yacht to yacht, assisting in anything needed for the event. I must have looked horrible because I felt like I did. He was sitting in the yacht office. He messaged me to meet him. My stomach was bubbling. I was so nervous. I never get like that before I meet a guy, but a part of me was just so excited to finally meet him. We had been teasing each other for over a month. This was the moment. I was finally meeting him. I walked over to the office. It was pitch black, nighttime. The office was lit brightly, and I could see an outline of him sitting back on the reception couch. This excited me even more. Then the moment arrived, and holy shit, this guy was like a chiseled Greek god sent from the heavens. Tan, tall, muscular, dressed like a gentleman in brown leather shoes, pristinely pressed dress shirt, and finished with an Hermes belt. Every woman's wet dream. I stared up at him with probably the biggest, goofiest smile of my life. Hi. He said hi back. This guy is hot as fuck. I try to play it cool. Deep breath, Rachel. You got this, girl. You're a dating pro. I explained the event to him. Each yacht had a different country theme. Italy, France, Spain, etc. Then we started viewing the yachts. We got on a 54 Sea Ray. It was priced under $400,000. He said that he was on the water very often and would consider buying a yacht, However, he would want to charter for a while before taking the plunge. Understandable. I was impressed. This man was clearly financially wealthy. Hot and wealthy? Check, check. Don't get me wrong. I'm not vain. I'm not looking for a rich guy to take care of me. I don't need to be taken care of. But it is a turn-on, however, that if needed, a man could step up and take care of the woman he loves. It releases some of the financial burden on the relationship. And trust me, I come from a relationship where I was strapped down working several jobs, where I was being taken advantage of and being verbally harassed, all because it was crucial for me to keep a particular income to support 50% of the household, and we definitely lived beyond our means. I felt like a caged bird. I had zero freedom to fly, and as an artist, freedom is our livelihood. So the fact that this man was financially successful made him all the more appealing to me because it made me feel even freer than I already felt at the moment as a single badass career woman. My colleague was the broker for the 54 Sea Ray yacht. She got to her sales pitch and we all chit-chatted. All the while, she was definitely picking up on a flirtatious vibe between the surgeon and me. When he walked over to another yacht, she took me aside and asked how I knew him. She wanted all the details. But I was working. I wasn't going to indulge in all the details at a work event. As the event was beginning to wind down, the surgeon invited me to a drink at the outdoor dive bar next door. "Vodka soda," he ordered. He explained that he drank them because he works out a lot and it's the only thing he can drink to fit his diet. I was like, okay. And this is where the concept of the vodka soda man came from. From this point on, I would equate every guy who ordered a vodka soda to a complete fuckboy. Hey, if the pattern shows a commonality, then it must be factual, right? Ladies, vodka soda is a tell about a guy. The men who drink this drink are very concerned with their weight and physical body. It's also a lazy man's drink for men who don't know what to order. Don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with looking good. The drink, however, from experience, is always the fuckboy special. Look out, ladies, a tall glass of vodka soda just walked in the door. Stay clear. So he orders a vodka soda. I ordered the same thing to keep things simple. Wasn't really up for drinking anyway. The conversation was light, not particularly memorable. In fact, I was trying very hard to make this date fun. He was just so dry. Like a bottle of liquid chalk. He was certainly controlled. You could feel the discipline, but he was just so goddamn boring. His personality was unproportional to his physical body. Physically, 11. Personality, 4 at best. Average that out and you get a 7.5. Then he hits me with it. A riddle. Keep in mind, at this point, it's 9 or 10 at night, and I'm exhausted. I am mentally exhausted. "Do you like riddles?" Oh, God, I think. Is this guy the Riddler? Shit. I don't know, I guess. I don't know many riddles. And then he continued to present his not-so-original riddle. A doctor and his son get into a car accident. They are rushed to the hospital. They are both in critical condition. At the hospital, the doctor says, "I can't operate on this boy. That's my son." "How is that possible?" he asked. This is an easy riddle, but I had just pulled a mentally draining 16-hour day at work with this important event. I was covered in sweat. I could barely hold myself up at the bar. That's how drained I was. My whole body hurt. So I answered frustrated. I don't know. The doctor is in critical condition, so how could he operate on the kid? "The doctor at the hospital is his mother," he answered with a smile. "Oh, how sexist of me, duh," I replied, annoyed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I failed his test. This was his pre-qualifying test before taking me out on a real date, and I failed miserably. I finished my drink. He had already finished his, and I never saw him again. And he never initiated again. Until August 2023. 3 years later. For 3 years, the surgeon would watch almost every Instagram story I would post, keeping tabs on what I was doing. I guess I'm just so damn interesting. We call this helicoptering in the dating world. And he wasn't the only man who would helicopter my stories. The philosopher would as well. For years. And I let them look to see what they were missing. Although I admit seeing the surgeon had seen my stories was more of an ego boost. Seeing the philosopher, however, would give me this sense of agonizing hope. Hope that he would someday come back when I least expected. August 13th, 2023. I had just landed that morning from a horrifying dating experience in Atlanta. Long story, but a story for another day. Somehow the surgeon and I struck up a conversation on Instagram DMs. He then asked me what my Snapchat was. Not a fan of Snap. Think it gives people license to say whatever they want and then they say they never said it, I told him. Also, Snapchat is notorious for being for dick pics. I asked for his number, but he was fixated on using Snapchat. He told me that during surgeries, his nurses and consultants were on his phone and how he caught them one time going through his personal texts on Instagram. To me, that's grounds for termination, but I guess this happens in the medical world. I do hear from friends that hospitals can be a real-life Grey's Anatomy, and being surrounded by death can get people's emotions up, and other things up. Anyway, he wanted to use Snapchat because he actually wanted the messages to disappear, so his coworkers wouldn't be able to read them. Normally, I would stand my ground and not venture to Snapchat, but his reasoning actually did make sense. So I re-downloaded from the cloud. Oh, I hate Snapchat so much. And once Snapchat popped open, I gave the surgeon my handle. And he messaged me instantly and invited me to Moxie's for a drink. That was fast. And he insisted he wanted to treat me to one friendly drink since my Hotlanta date ended up being so hot, like a dumpster fire. I did need a drink to take the edge off. I'll go for one drink and then head out to TJ Maxx. I wanted to go shopping for luggage for my upcoming Portugal trip. I freshened up, put on a cute green sundress and black wedges, and kissed my dog goodbye. Walking up to Moxie's, I felt a little nervous. I had remembered him being so terribly handsome last time I met him. I took a deep breath and held my head high. There he was, sitting at a table near the outdoor bar. Dirty plates and cups were stacked up high on the table in front of him. I guess other people were there? Hi, I said, smiling. It took you long enough. My friends already left, was his greeting. It didn't take long. You just messaged me. I didn't realize there were other people here, I defended myself. The waitress came around and asked if he wanted to close out. We're going to have one more. Whatever she wants, he said. Then he tried to get me to order a margarita. No, I feel like I'll finally order that martini I never got to order with you. There was something strange about the surgeon. He seemed different than what I remembered. Maybe I was different. Maybe I had changed since meeting him 3 years ago. I mean, my mindset definitely had changed significantly. And I had done a lot of inner growth. But there was something I noticed right away. His conversations and behavior seemed like he was socially unaware. There was something off. I can't explain it. I'm not a psychologist by any means, but he seemed autistic, but high-functioning autistic. He was a highly intelligent surgeon, after all. I think there's even a show about a doctor with autism. The only reason I was able to pick up on the signals is because several people in my extended family have autism, and some of his behavior reminded me of how they would react to certain things. Despite noticing this, our conversations were flowing. I liked his weird. I understood it. I didn't care. After finishing our drinks, we walked down Los Olas Boulevard together. He was holding my hand at this point. This is usually too intimate for me, holding hands early on. I never usually allow it, but I let it slide. Then he turned to me and asked if I wanted to go to dinner. Well, my parking is about to expire. I only put an hour on the meter. Park at my building, he said. Are you sure? I asked. Sure, he replied. We walked to my car and drove to the Icon, handed the keys to the valet, and headed up the elevators. He showed me his apartment, and then we started to talk about where to eat. Have you been to that new Cajun place, Voodoo Bayou? I asked. I'm dying to try that place. Let's go, he replied. We walked to Voodoo Bayou and were seated immediately. It was a Sunday evening, and they had just opened. Again, the surgeon tried to order my drink for me, but I pushed back and ordered a variation on a whiskey sour with a frothy egg white shaken in, of course. The waiter put the cocktail in front of me, and there was an edible picture in it. It looked like Jimi Hendrix. Nice touch. As I sipped on the cocktail, the surgeon took charge and ordered all the food for the table, jambalaya, shrimp and grits, and more. For dessert, I insisted on beignets. I love New Orleans, and beignets are the perfect way to end a Cajun meal. He agreed, paid, and we took the beignets to go. We walked back to his apartment together. Everything was going well. He invited me to watch a movie. I figured I would go up, eat the beignets, and watch a few minutes of the movie before calling it a night. I had no expectation at all. We were, after all, in the words of the surgeon, just friends. There you have it. Until next story, this is Rachel Ash signing off.